The principal of Porirua College is calling for open entry to university as a direct result of the lockdown. Ragni Maxwell says it will be too hard for students and teachers to catch up after nearly 8 weeks of school. At the start of lockdown, only a third of students at the school had access to devices at home. And ministry devices came only in the last week of the lockdown. Porirua College is a SR1 school in East Porirua. A high percentage of its roll of 550 students are Māori and Pacifica. Teachers kept in close touch with around a quarter of students and whānau throughout the lockdown, asking about their experiences and what to learn from 7 weeks of remote learning.
We have been in touch with our students right through the whole lockdown, trying to phone home to everyone at least once a week, and every kind of teacher and a number of the teacher aides and other support people in the SLT have had 12 to 15 students we've been in regular contact with. And we decided to use our last phone call home last week to ask them about the experience and just really very open, what do they want to tell us about what it's been like and about what that means we should change for Porirua College. And we tried to talk to the whānau and to the students, so we collected both lots of voices. We spoke to 122 of our 550 families and were able to collect that voice. They were comfortable for us to collect it and record that and talk about it.
What did you learn from this?
We learned that there had been some really interesting positives about it and obviously some really major issues and some quite big learnings for us as a school and I think for the education system as a whole about how we work with our students. So some of the positives they identified, the students liked being able to learn at their own pace and in their own time. It's the same sort of themes that came out of the study about, you know, from the parents, that their students' ability to decide what they wanted to learn when, and we had some platforms like Education Perfect that we were using, and kids got in and learned things they weren't even studying at school, like Korean and German we found they were accessing. And they might be doing it at midnight, which mightn't be ideal, but the fact that they were choosing to learn in their time things that interested them, as well as being on top of their schoolwork, was great. So they liked that. They liked the power. They liked being independent learners. Some of our seniors, who are the most academically successful, found it really hard being at home, as everyone did, but learnt over that time how to be much more confident as independent learners. And that's one of our big takeaways from this, is that we want to grow the capacity of our students to learn independently, because that was their hardest thing. Their hardest thing was learning without their teacher there beside them to give them the feedback and to boost their confidence that they could do something as they went.
Just expand on what that separation from the teacher, what issues it caused, apart from the broad ones. I imagine some did better than others, some struggled more than others.
Absolutely. I mean, well, the first real issue, of course, was whether they even had access to a device and were, you know, able to be meaningfully working and in touch with their teachers. So that was the really massive issue there. We had two-thirds of our students who did not have any access to devices in any meaningful way.
The whole time, Ragni? Or were they provided?
That was to start with. We immediately lent out all the Chromebooks we had in school, but that was 90-odd, so that didn't meet all the need. They were provided to the other students by the end of lockdown, but literally in the last week. It was last week that half of our students got a device.
And that was the ones that the ministry had prioritised delivering.
Yep.
They still didn't arrive till the last week of lockdown.
No, there were just major issues with getting the devices into the country in the whole situation. It's not the ministry's fault. You know, they made a massive effort to get them out there, but that was the fastest that could be done.
So where has that left students who had no device and were separated from their teachers? A real challenge for both you and them. And
absolutely.
And where do you think things are at as they come back to school now?
We have a lot of students who are very fearful about what this is going to mean for their education. I had one of the students I was contacting say, "Miss, I'm not going to university next year now, am I?" And, you know, I had to say to her, yes, yes, you are going to go and we are going to work with you and we're going to do whatever it takes for as long as it takes to get you to university next year. And that's their concern. Their concern is what about their futures? Are they going to get the qualifications they need this year? So our biggest worry is particularly for our Year 12s and our Year 13s. We're not going to worry too much about Level 1. I think Level 1's fairly optional qualification in many ways and not the most useful of qualifications. So we are interested in the Year 12s and Year 13s. We are going to lend them devices for the rest of this year. The loan is not stopping now. They are going to keep hold of those devices. We've bought cases for them so they can take them between school and home. We are changing a part of our curriculum time to be independent learning time, where we focus on teaching them how to learn, both in an online environment and if they want to with printed out materials, but learning independently, but with someone in the room to help them learn how to learn independently so that they can then take that device home in the evening and continue to learn independently and grow those independent learning skills over the rest of this year. And we are going to have to give power into their hands, work alongside them, and work with them like we've never had to work with students before to try to catch them up. And we still know there are students who will fail Level 2 and Level 3 and university entrance this year because of this situation.
What's fair to them longer term? Is there any way of compensating for that?
I think we need to open up university entrance for next year. I think sticking by the 14 credits and the three UE-approved subjects is going to be really difficult in a situation where some students have lost half a term, absolutely, out of the year. So we need to make universities open entrance, I think, for next year and give people the chance to prove that they can do it when they get there. I think we need to look at the issue of devices long term for all of our students. I think we've got to face the fact that in the modern world, the access to a device for education, particularly for older students, is kind of the equivalent of the access to water or electricity. It's a basic if you're going to have any sort of equity in our society.
Are there issues with just a loss of engagement and motivation with some students? And how will you recoup that?
Yeah, so there has been a huge loss of motivation with some students, and that's one of the reasons why we've been phoning home to everybody once a week, is to try to keep that engagement, keep that personal connection up, and we're going to have to work on that. I know the Ministry of Education is planning on working closely with us with students who may not come back to school. Certainly I've had families in touch saying we don't yet feel confident that it's safe to go back to school. Those are obviously engaged families who are communicating with us. There are going to be other families who don't make the communication and just don't come back for a multitude of reasons. This lockdown has been so hard on families that have lost incomes, have lost important resources for large families that are depending on their support and, you know, food and electricity and well-being have been such massive issues that education in some families has had to take the back step.
It's going to be a big climb back for some of those families and some of those students, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And schools are going to have to work very one-on-one with students to develop independent plans, and we're going to have a learning conference day at the end of next week where we sit down with all of our students and go through again, what is the plan for getting you to where you are aiming for this year? And that very independent way of working with students one-on-one is so crucial for moving forward out of this situation. And it's a huge demand on teachers and on schools and on the resources we've got to provide that. And obviously we're going to step up and do our absolute best there, but it's going to be a real challenge for the rest of the year. This is not something that's going to be all done and dusted this term, even if nothing worse happens.
You're stressing the independence, because I think what you're alluding to is the idea of a class moving through the curriculum went completely out the window over the last 2 months.
Oh, absolutely. This is about each student's own individual learning plan. We've got teachers busy rewriting what courses are going to cover during the year because they can't do the same things. That information's getting out to students. And then we're going to sit down with our students and say, right, which standards from which subjects or courses that you are doing are you going to be focusing on passing in order to get this result that you need for your future? We cannot move them through in classes or cohorts or anything else. And in some ways that's positive because that's an attitude shift that we've been working on in education anyway, but it's an approach that, of course, we're not resourced for because we just don't have small enough teacher-to-student ratios to really do this properly. So it's a big ask of teachers to do this, but they are stepping up.
I heard you speak about open entry this year. I think that's a very valid issue to raise. What of exams, however? How and when are they happening?
Exams have been moved back 2 weeks, which is an advantage. It gives students a bit more time to do things, but it's a fairly minor advantage. You know, it's that little bit more time, and that's good. And in some schools, that will be what the students need. When students have been at home with a device, with a quiet space, where they could learn independently through this time, a couple more weeks to get into the exams may meet the needs of some students through the country. But this is an equity issue. For students in schools like ours, where most of them have not had a device through the entire time, have not, even if they've had a device, have not necessarily had a quiet, peaceful place to learn or sole access to the device to be on at the time their class is on, then for them there has to be something more happening. Or we're quite simply going to face a situation where our Māori and Pacifica students, our students from lower socioeconomic areas, are not going to go to university or are not going to access the polytechs or the further education next year in an equitable way. It's already not equitable, and this is going to be seriously exacerbated by this unless we look at something much more like open entry for tertiary.
Ragni Maxwell is principal of Porirua College. I was talking to her a little earlier, 20 minutes past nine on nine to noon. Dr. Melanie Riwai-Couch, formerly trained secondary teachers at Christchurch College of Education. She's an education consultant, National Māori Manager Evaluation Associates. Morena and welcome, Melanie.
Ata Marie, good morning.
And with us also Greymouth High School Principal Andy England. Morning, Andy.
Morena, Catherine.
Melanie, do you want to comment on what we've just been hearing there about the impact on students and on those particularly affected? You've done your own survey, I think.
That's right. Firstly, just listening to the steps that Porirua College is taking, I just really want to acknowledge their individual approach and the communication they've been having with their families. And the reason I do that is part of the survey that we did with Māori and Pacifica families, we asked those families, as well as what worked well for them and what concerns they had, we asked them to identify what they thought could be improvements and things to think about moving forward. And I was sitting here just listening and almost picking off one by one the different improvements that parents were asking for from Māori and Pacifica families, which included better access to technology and resources, needing more support to facilitate learning, improved communication and clarity about expectations, looking at all of those things, and particularly the concern around the risk to qualifications and the anxiety that that was causing. Culturally, that transition and achieving of whether it's a level of NCEA or university entrance is so significant for families, and so that extra pressure and anxiety is significant at the moment.
Would you endorse at least a consideration, given these exceptional circumstances, a consideration of a different entry to university next year, so that students who want to get there and in other circumstances would have, don't miss out?
I certainly think that's something that should be considered. It's not something that our survey looked at in particular, but I do think that these are extraordinary times and we have schools doing their best to cater for students and we've had parents doing their best to facilitate learning at home. And I think, you know, given the remarkable complexity of the situation, we need to find some solutions that will be unique and very different to what we've seen in past years.
From what parents were telling you, what else do you believe remains needing to be addressed? In some cases, was it parents who felt very overwhelmed by the situation?
Yeah, I think so the survey that we did was called School-Led Learning at Home, and we collected voices of Māori and Pacifica parents. And just two things for that, you know, learning happens in our homes all of the time, and so we were really looking at the learning that had been uplifted from the school setting and then overlaid into homes. And one of the things that came out of this was that when there were good partnerships, there was a good alignment culturally, and things worked well for, you know, or better for families. And families, 50% of the families or the parents who responded were either happy or very happy with what was happening. But there were opportunities to improve things. These parents really appreciated having that flexibility to make decisions about what their children were doing, when they were doing it, how they were doing it. They got to know their children as learners to understand better the challenges and strengths that their children had. They appreciated the communication and individual follow-up from school, but they also struggled. You know, you had parents saying, look, you know, I can't teach level two physics. You know, what do I do? How do I do this? How do I support my kids? So there were, I think moving forward, one of the most important things is to take the voices of parents. And as schools make these decisions, they do what was described at Porirua College, where the decisions are informed by parent voice as well as teacher and school leader voice. So it means that you can provide an experience that's going to be localised to your area, but also aligned with the aspirations of parents, and that uses the children's language, identity and culture as a strength for their learning.
Thank you, Melanie. Andy England, listening in, is principal of Greymouth High. Big school there, 550 pupils. Andy, how are you approaching the resumption today?
Catherine, very similar to what Ragni was saying. It was great listening to her report and ticking off, as Melanie was just saying, so many aspects of what of good practice that they're doing. I've just had a little look around the school, and we've got about 83% attendance, which is not too dissimilar from a day before COVID-19 came along. Probably a little bit down. We've got a few families who are going to keep their kids home longer. But I absolutely agree. The biggest thing is with those seniors who are feeling nervous about their futures. I think the equity concern is really valid. We've had a team of people right through looking for families who we found it harder to engage with, and there definitely some of them are really struggling. So yeah, our aim, the teachers have been briefed to be kind on kids. To, for example, uniform is not a discipline issue at the moment. You will try and guide students around that kind of thing, but we're just not making it discipline. Be kind, listen to students, and help them shape up an individual plan into their future.
Have some families been quite open with you about how much they're struggling, and in what ways?
Absolutely. Hunger is probably the thing that came through the most for me. It's pretty amazing when you hear families saying that they've been hungry. So we've had people working with them, trying to connect them with services to make sure that they're well fed. We've got Calcite Cafe and all our kind of breakfast clubs and so on running for when they come back to school. But I hadn't probably realised how much some of our students depend on the services that we provide until we started doing this phoning around. And the phoning around itself has been really interesting, because we've probably found that some families have engaged better in this distance style than they would have done normally. Maybe people don't like coming into school, but they actually don't mind doing a Google Meet from their home. So there's been a huge mixed bag in terms of the responses, and we're just trying to collate all that stuff together and do the best thing going forward.
So you're seeing opportunities to do things differently permanently because of what you've learned. What would be some of those areas?
Yeah, well, a little bit like Ragni was saying, some students have preferred to work in their own time. Some of them just prefer to work in their own lounge or bedroom. So for those students, we're trying to find a way that they can do that. Of course, on the other side, you've got teachers, understandably, don't want to be teaching a split class where you've got maybe 15 students in front of you and you've got 10 in different places on a device. That makes planning difficult, and it's a different style of planning for those two situations. But I've got a team of teachers who are going to trial that for the rest of the term and see if we can come up with a blended pattern. So, for example, At the moment, a senior would need to be attending on site to be counted as attending. We're hoping that with our year 12s and 13s, we can create an option where they can work from home and their attendance is based on being into those tutorials that we're offering as opposed to being here on site.
This kind of blended or hybrid model had already been under consideration and in some places in practice. And now you've been sort of you've had an unanticipated experience of it. If it is going to be given the opportunity to develop for those for whom it's most beneficial, what would the system have to do? We know teachers are already under the pump with an enormous amount or an enormous curriculum and an enormous amount of assessment. Is it time for a bit of a rethink to enable some of this to expand?
Yeah, look, I fully agree with the comments made so far about opening up UE. I don't think it should just be done for this year either. We all teachers, I think, generally find UE to be quite a restrictive form of qualification. NCEA is very unrestrictive. You could take all sorts of clever combinations of units of learning, and you could choose how and when you do that, but then you're restricted currently by UE. So I think that's one thing I'd like to see looked at. Within the curriculum, there's a lot of smart people looking at the curriculum right now, and I think there's some really good guidance coming out from the Ministry of Education about localising curriculum. So I don't think a huge attention needs to be paid to that. Schools can already adapt the curriculum to their own needs, and if they're doing that well, they should be doing that by listening to students and parents, whānau, in their own community. So personally, I don't think an awful lot more needs to go into that area there. The issue of equity is huge, though, and we realise we're in a very good position. We've been working with Manaya Kalani in Auckland, Point England, for quite a few years. So every student in our school, in fact, every student in the community from year five onwards uses a Chromebook. And we had a really high rate of accessing Chromebooks and learning from home. Sure, we had a few niggles and problems we had to fix up, but we didn't, for example, need to go to the government for the device scheme over the level three and level four time. So I think that, but the whole of the Manaya Kalani focus is around equity. So that it probably demonstrates that certainly for lower decile, if you like, continue to use that word, communities, we need to keep up that focus, and the job's not done yet. We've got to be more innovative. I also agree that having a device is necessary for school as well. We've got various guidelines that actually make it quite hard for schools to manage that system. We should probably try to look as a country to simplify the system, accept that having some form of connectivity is necessary.
Well, Andy, this isn't over yet either, regrettably, is it? We don't know what we're navigating for months and possibly years, and you would not want this particular group to... You would want to be as ready as you could be for any further disruptions to their education, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I've put a message to our community saying my biggest concern is that with travel freeing up, so we've had zero cases here on the West Coast for 4 weeks, but in theory, everybody should be safe. But as soon as travel's freed up, people are leaving here to go visit relatives and friends and coming back. It'll be the same in all over the country. It's going to be very hard to keep students physically separated from each other and to maintain the practices that we have been doing. So there is a risk of both, I guess, COVID-19 re-emerging. But I think probably the biggest concern I would have is for the motivation of students who are facing a really uncertain future. So with the hospitality industry, tourism industry being flattened as it is, that's a huge percentage of accessible work for students. We have so many students through the Trades Academy who are studying hospitality at the moment and haven't yet decided what they're going to do with that. So those teenagers have got a lot on their minds at the moment.
Really appreciate it, especially today when you're just getting back into things. Thanks for making time, all of you. Andy England is Greymouth High Principal. Thanks also to Ragni Maxwell earlier, Principal of Porirua College. And thanks very much to Melanie Riwaikauch, who is an education consultant and National Māori Manager with Evaluation Associates.